My name's Chris Miller, and I founded and I run Capture Connection Studios.
So what inspired you to get into the podcasting field?
Well, I was in a corporate job where I was traveling every single week, spending about 5 to 6 days away from home, and it was too much for me. So I left my job. I had a background in communication, and I always wanted to do podcasting. There's so many cool podcasts out there where you can talk into a microphone and share a message with a whole bunch of different people. And the message I wanted to share is life is better when you talk to people. So we need to talk to those around us more. It's something you're doing all of the time, right? Talking to several people in a day. And that was a little project for me, was to be able to create my own podcast. But after it started to experience some success, I had organizations reach out to me, and then I began producing podcasts for them.
Yeah, how does that feel that people are seeing your mission and want to be a part of it?
It's a good feeling. It's nice to know that what you're doing can add value. That's something I want to do, is to be able to add as much value as I can. And our specialty is nonprofits. And a lot of nonprofits have really good messages, and they have really good people working for them and really good causes. But they may not be able to get the message out there as well as they could. So a podcast really helps connect their cause with their desired audience.
Yeah, can you tell me about some of the podcasts you work on?
Sure. So I just recorded one last night at a roller derby. It was a skating rink with NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness. They have a state chapter here in Kansas. We've been able to record with Boys and Girls Club, or working with a nonprofit called 6 Degrees and helping them grow their YouTube channel. So it's fun. It's not just limited to podcasting. Our main goal is to have podcasting as really our prioritized product. But once you start looking at YouTube, for instance, I know you all have a great YouTube channel. There's so much opportunity there that a lot of nonprofits are leaving on the table.
And that's the big thing of how does podcasting help these companies succeed?
Several ways, right? Because if you think of a nonprofit, typically you're going to think of a small team with a tight budget, and a lot of people are wearing a lot of different hats. A lot of those hats are because they need to connect with the community, they need to fundraise, they need to advertise their events, they need to feature their employees or make sure their employees are feeling respected and invested in. So podcasts, we like to look at 4 different pillars. The first is community collaboration. So if you have a nonprofit that's near you in DC, you could theoretically get someone who is a key figure in the community, feature them on your podcast, yet have them establish that relationship for community collaboration. You can also, the second pillar is to be able to donor partnerships or fundraising relationships. You can feature donors on there. You can use a podcast as an advertising method to potentially make a partnership with a corporation. And the third and fourth are employee engagement. So you can do spotlights for employees, people who are doing really well. And the fourth is just advertisement, advertising your events. So when you put all of those things together, it's going to be really helpful for a nonprofit just to have a high quality digital asset doing all of those.
What made you want to get in the communication field?
I initially was studying exercise science because I wanted to help athletes who were injured. But it was something around my sophomore year in my undergraduate. Someone had told me, you know, you can study talking to people. It was an interpersonal communication major. And that seemed so unique to me. And I always have enjoyed this right here, the interaction. Yeah. I think we are very digitally immersed right now. And you and I are talking several thousand miles away, but we still get to have a good conversation. I think this is a great use of the technology, but I think a lot of the digital immersion is actually removing us from being able to interact with others. Like the scrolling and the watching and the playing, like a lot of that can be nice in little small batches, but for the most part, we're not talking to people as much. And I really felt passionate to help people connect to those around them. So I did undergraduate in communication. I did graduate school in communication. I taught public speaking for a couple of years. And then I started working with different corporations in communication roles and just trying to tie it all together.
How do you think the person-to-person communication helps someone's mental health?
Well, it's big time, right? Yeah. Social connection is one of the most important aspects of a healthy life. For any health, for physical health, for financial health, for mental health, being able to have a community around you that, one, cares about you, that, two, asks you questions, that challenges you, that you can tell about a really good date you had, or a really bad date you had, or a really cool show you watched, or the book you just finished, right? To be able to bring that to someone, humans innately are social creatures. We were wired to confide in others. You know, there's a lot of cool brain scans. And our brain is primarily a social machine. We think about either a conversation that's about to happen. We think about the conversation we're currently happening, right? Like, I have to make sure I say the right thing, and I have to make sure I focus on you, and you have to make sure you listen to ask the next question, right? Or we're thinking about a conversation that's already happened and wishing we said something different, wondering if the person meant what they said, potentially regretting something we said. So our brains and our bodies are just wired for social interaction. And when we're removed from that, we go in a deficit. And that's when we experience loneliness. Typically, loneliness is that we are not reaching the desire for our social connection that we need. And we all have different desires. Like, you may be someone with a higher social battery than me. Maybe you just need to talk to a few people a week and you're good. But the issue is that we're not meeting that social battery, and it's resulting in high blood pressure, it's resulting in increased anxiety, it's resulting in increased chance for heart defects, like a whole bunch of negative health consequences, but also mental consequences.
What you said earlier about, thinking about previous questions or things in your mind, I'm always like that, where I'm like, what, did I just go on a rant? Why am I thinking like that during these podcasts? But it's some of those things you do think of while communicating.
And you're probably, compared to the, average person, you're probably pretty dang good at communication. And one big reason why is practice, like repetition. And you're putting the practice in, and every single day you're talking to new people in different roles, and you're doing the reach out, you're emailing, you're scheduling, you're getting people on. And that's, if everybody had, I know everybody doesn't want a podcast, and
right,
but if everybody had a reason to reach out to people and to connect with people, it would definitely make the world a better place.
And you do work with a few nonprofits. What is it like getting to learn from them?
It's cool. People typically choose nonprofit work whenever they identify with the cause, and that's respectable in itself. Like, I worked with two different corporations that were both quite large. The last one I was at was one of the largest tech companies in the US. And whenever you're there, it's kind of unclear what exactly the defining principle is for your job. You just want to make sure you make the clients happy. But whenever you work for a nonprofit, there's no question. There's a cause, and everyone's aligned around that cause. And the more I learn about nonprofits, the more I am, one, respectful for people who are involved with them, but also convinced that there's more that we could be doing in nonprofits. Nonprofits typically are slow to adapt to new technology. Not exactly their fault. It's just they may not have the resources expendable to go and discover or implement. And because of that, there's a lot that we're not able to do. But overall, nonprofits are really cool to see the passion, and it makes me happy that I can help implement technology.
When I was doing my research, I saw you do public speaking. Sometimes that makes me so nervous, but yeah. What is it like doing that?
Well, you're not alone. Public speaking, social embarrassment, sounding dumb, all of these things are some of the most common human fears. Surprisingly, on average, people are more likely to fear public speaking higher than they even fear death itself. Now, that's whenever people are just filling out a quiz, right? But it's so funny how much fear we put around public speaking. I am also pretty scared of public speaking, but I recognize the potential of what happens when it goes well. And I think I just have to use that to outweigh my fear. Whenever I'm about to go on a stage, my heart is beating and it makes me nervous and I'm thinking about what to say. I've had moments where I was doing public speaking and I totally forgot what I was going to say. But you always have to think about, this isn't about me, it's about my audience. And the less you think about yourself when you have the microphone in your hand, the more you think about your audience, the more you think about what can happen when it goes well, what can happen when an audience member maybe takes one or two things away from what you said, what can happen if you actually connect to the person who's sitting down and showed up to the event. That's where the reward is. And a lot of us never get to experience those rewards because the fear, right? We prevent ourselves from even showing up to potentially experience the rewards. So do what you can. And I need to listen to this advice too, but to remember the potential outcome and don't let the anxiety and the nervousness and the fear stop us from showing up.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
I play soccer 3 times a week in the morning. I walk my dog. I spend a lot of time with my wife. I will play games. I will eat. I try and eat healthy food. I try and take naps. I try and get at least 8 hours of sleep. It's a lot of work. Unfortunately, you know, it's being pushed on the individual. You know, it's really not a lot of people's fault that they can only afford like processed food, or they don't have enough time to get enough sleep, right? Or so we have to be very intentional about prioritizing our mental health, or else it's a domino effect, right? If I don't get enough sleep, then I'm not going to be as hard of a worker. If I'm not as hard of a worker, I won't generate a business opportunity. If I don't generate business opportunity, I get stressed and then I lose sleep and I want to eat sugar. You know, it's a spiral.
Yes. That's the toughest thing of, you know, those delicious foods are always there. Not really great for you though.
Yes, totally. I have some cinnamon rolls downstairs. I've had half of one and I bought the cinnamon rolls whenever I was feeling very stressed. And since then I've been like, okay, I actually don't need them.
Yeah.
And just because you have them doesn't mean you have to eat them, right? So more than likely, I won't eat them.
What are some of the things you've learned from your wife?
From my wife?
Yeah.
I've learned the importance of focusing on one thing. She's very good at being able to go outside and just sit there with the sun on her, looking at our backyard, no phone in hand, no podcast playing. That's powerful, being able to experience the current moment. And because of that, I've been trying to implement that into my work. You know, I'm running my own agency right now, and there can be a lot of pressure to be as productive as possible. Right. So theoretically, while I talk to you, I could have something buffering over here and have someone waiting to text me over here. And while I'm editing a podcast, I could have a YouTube video I want to make an analysis on over here. And right, it's so tempting. But what I'm trying to do right now is monotask, work on one thing at a time and just focus on it. It doesn't feel that productive, but my hunch is that long term, it's going to result in a happier and actually more productive life. Another thing, just to make it plural, another thing that I really learned from her is just joy. She's so joyful. And it was one of the biggest things that attracted me was her joy, her smile. She helps me experience that. And she helps me. I can be flatline. I can avoid the high highs and the low lows, but she helps me celebrate.
That's a good answer. Hopefully she likes that answer. What would you say to anyone going through a tough time?
I would say, I would try and listen first and try and understand what the tough time is. Tough times are prevalent. We will always experience tough times, but they're very unique. They're very different. My tough time may be a lot different than your tough time. So I think listening is one of the best things. And then some of the best advice you can give is just going back to the basics, going back to the sleep, going back to the food, going back to the, am I the only person you've told? How many people have you told? How many people are you, what's your social connection level like? I think if we can help others manage those basic quadrants, exercise, sleep, food, social connection, financial health, right? Like if we can help people manage all of those, and each of those requires a lot of work. But I think regarding advice, like just generally, it would center around, okay, like, hey, let's try and get a good foundation, and then we can figure out your job or your marriage or your career or your hobby.
For you, how does it feel when you receive positive feedback?
I think it overall it feels good. I enjoy it. There have been moments in my career where I'll get positive feedback and I don't even process it. I just boom, 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 boom. I've made a few YouTube videos that I've like done well, and there'll be hundreds of comments, and a lot of them are like, oh, this was great. I really appreciate this. Awesome analysis. And I'll just like process it out. So good feedback is awesome. Depending on the feedback, if it's just a compliment, I may just kind of sideline it. I'm grateful for it overall. But if it's an actual constructive feedback where they specifically point to one thing that added value to them, I'm much more likely to cling to that and almost even double down on what I'm doing or use it as fuel for the next product.
So where do you want to see your mission, say, in the next 3 to 5 years?
It's funny. I watched a podcast and one of the questions you had asked was similar to that. It's an awesome question. It is.
I like asking that one.
Me too. And it gets people out of the current setting and into the future. Yeah. And it's a great question to ask. I just released a top 20 questions to make any conversation better. And that was one of the questions. For me, in 3 to 5 years, I would like to see my business and my agency get to a place to where we have not a ton of clients, but we actually have a handful of clients where we get to provide hyper specific and hyper attentive high value work. I think that we are at a point to where we need to really emphasize working to live rather than living to work. And I want to make sure that in my life I have clients I can add a ton of value to. I'm contributing helpful content via YouTube and podcasting, and then I'm able to be present with my family.
How can people reach out to you and learn more?
People can go to talktochrismiller.com. I have a newsletter called The Social Fitness Lab. I have a podcast called The Communication Mentor, and my agency is called Capture Connection Studios. But you can find all of that at talktochrismiller.com.